All right, so think about this for a second. Imagine a judge just deciding, like, boom, the entire future of some teenager.
Yeah.
Potentially even sending them off to adult prison, like for decades, without even giving a formal explanation.
Oh.
Sounds crazy, right?
Yeah, totally.
But believe it or not, that was actually the reality before this super important case
Oh, wow.
that we're going to really get into today.
Huh.
It's Kent v. United States.
Well, okay, Kent v. United States. So, what's so interesting about this Kent case, I think, is that it really was this like turning point in how we as a society think about juvenile justice. So, before this whole thing went down, the main idea was that juvenile courts, they were kind of acting like in a parental role, like parents patriae. They had a lot of power, a lot of discretion to basically just do whatever they thought was best for this kid to like turn their life around, get them rehabilitated. And this often meant, though, that all the formal legal procedures, stuff we just kind of take for granted in adult courts, they weren't always seen as like necessary.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so almost like they thought, we're the good guys here.
Right.
We're here to help these kids turn their lives around so we don't need all the strict,
Yeah.
like courtroom rules. But like you were saying, that could also mean some
Exactly.
decisions weren't really fair.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. You had this tension, right, between wanting to help these kids, get them rehabilitated, and the need for like basic fairness, due process, the idea that no matter how old you are, you deserve some legal protection when you're facing some serious, life-altering consequences. And Kent, this case, it really makes us confront that tension head on.
Makes you think, for sure. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go deep,
Awesome.
understand the changes that this case brought about,
Yes.
and how it still affects how the legal system treats young people today.
Yeah, this is great.
I'm excited.
Okay, so let's get into it. Let's get specific here. Tell me about this Morris Kemp.
Okay, so Morris Kemp,
What happened?
16-year-old kid living in D.C. back in 1961,
Okay.
gets arrested.
Uh-oh.
Some pretty serious charges.
Like what?
We're talking housebreaking,
Yeah.
robbery, even rape. And to make things even more complicated,
Yeah.
he was already on juvenile probation.
Oh, so already in the system.
Exactly.
So he's 16, he's got all this stuff going on, he's already on probation. What happened after they arrested him?
So after the arrest, the police, they interrogate him.
Okay.
And not just for a little bit, for hours.
Wow.
And get this, no lawyer present. During that long interrogation, he ends up confessing.
Oh man. That just screams like,
Red flags.
coercion, especially with a kid that age.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, did he have a lawyer like at all early on?
So yes, thankfully, the day after all this goes down, his mom gets him a lawyer.
Right. This lawyer, he's on it, knows what he's doing. He files motions right away with the juvenile court. He's like, "Hey, I need to see my client's social service file.
Oh yeah, makes sense.
I need these records. They have important background info." And he's also like, "We need a hearing. We need to talk about, potentially transferring his case to adult court."
I mean, that's textbook what you want your lawyer to do.
Absolutely.
Be
Proactive.
proactive, get the info, get the hearing. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
So what happened? What did the court do?
So this is where it gets really kind of shocking and ultimately messed up, legally speaking. The juvenile court, they waived jurisdiction over Kent.
So they're basically saying, okay, we're sending it to adult court.
Exactly. They're like, "Nope, not our problem anymore. You're going to the big leagues." But here's the kicker. They did all this without ruling on the lawyer's motions,
Oh, wow.
without a hearing.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So the lawyer's like, I need a hearing. I need to see these files. And they just ignore him.
Basically, they just went, "Nah, we're good. No ruling, no hearing." And after this waiver happened, boom, Kent's transferred, tried as an adult in the U.S. District Court for D.C.
I mean, that's a totally different ball game.
Absolutely. Different world.
Huge difference for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So what happened? What was the end result of him being in adult court?
Not good. He was convicted on a bunch of counts of housebreaking and robbery. And while they found him not guilty by reason of insanity on the two rape charges, he still got sentenced to 30 to 90 years.
30 to 90.
Yeah.
That's a huge sentence.
It's a long time.
Especially for, I mean, we got to remember, he was a minor when all this stuff
Yeah,
happened.
absolutely.
And, it all comes back to this juvenile court decision
Right.
made without, the lawyer asking for the basic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, a hearing, the social worker files, and no explanation for why they decided to just wash their hands of the case.
Right. They basically just bounced. And this really shows you the difference between juvenile justice and the adult system.
Right.
In the juvenile system, the focus is supposed to be rehabilitation.
Right.
Helping the kid, addressing the underlying issues.
Totally.
There's also, you know, emphasis on confidentiality and a less harsh approach overall.
Yeah.
But once Kent got moved to the adult court, poof, all those potential benefits, gone.
Yeah.
He's facing the full force of the adult system.
Yeah. So it's no joke. So with all of these, like, it seems like mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the juvenile court. How did this even get all the way up to the Supreme Court?
Good question. So Kent, he appeals, makes his way through the system arguing, hey, my rights were violated back in the juvenile court. And eventually the Supreme Court agrees, all right, we'll hear this case.
Okay.
And this is huge because now they get to address this really important question. Does due process, this constitutional right, you know, does it apply to juveniles? When they're facing this life-altering decision of being transferred to adult court?
Yeah, like that's a big question. So what did they say?
So they were crystal clear. Supreme Court ruled that the waiver back in Kent's case was no good.
Okay.
Invalid because of all those procedural problems.
Right.
No hearing.
Right.
No access to the files.
Okay, so big win for Kent.
Yeah, for sure. It established this idea that fair procedures, they matter.
Yeah. So was there anything, like, any specific line from the ruling that really, like, stuck out?
Yeah, there's this really powerful line from Justice Fortas.
Okay.
Who wrote the majority opinion.
Okay.
He said, there is no place in our system of law for reaching a result of such tremendous consequences without ceremony.
Wow, I like that. No place for reaching a result of such huge consequences without ceremony.
Yeah.
That's like, that really shows how seriously they took this.
Absolutely. This wasn't just some minor procedural hiccup. This was a major decision.
Yeah.
With huge implications for a young person's life. It couldn't be done casually or without justification.
Totally. So I want to, like, go even deeper.
Yeah.
Into the legal stuff. Like, what was the core of the argument? What led them to this conclusion?
So Justice Fortas, he was basing his opinion on a couple of key legal principles.
Okay.
The first one was how they interpreted the specific law that governed juvenile proceedings in D.C.
Okay.
Back then, that law said the juvenile court had to do a full investigation before they could waive jurisdiction.
Okay.
So the Supreme Court, they basically said, hey, this full investigation, it means you got to have a hearing.
Okay.
It means you got to give the kid and their lawyer a chance to present their side.
Yeah.
And you got to look at all the relevant records.
But they were, like, really looking at the, you know, the small print of the law.
Exactly. They weren't just saying, be fair.
Right.
They were saying, hey, you didn't even follow your own rules.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But they didn't just stop there. Right.
No, they didn't stop there. Mm-hmm. They also made this bigger point about the due process clause.
Oh, yeah. 14th Amendment.
Exactly. 14th Amendment. They basically said, even if the D.C. law didn't specifically lay out all these procedures.
Right.
Basic fairness, the Constitution, demands certain safeguards.
Okay.
In a decision this huge.
So even bigger than the local D.C. law, it's like the Constitution steps in.
Exactly.
To protect people, which is, that's pretty cool.
It's a big deal. And this leads to what legal folks call, like, the critical importance doctrine.
Okay.
Basically, the court realized that this decision to waive juvenile court jurisdiction, it's this massive turning point in a kid's life,
right?
You know, in the legal system, it's like they lose all those protections, all those special considerations you get in the juvenile system.
So it's like almost a point of no return.
Exactly.
Once that waiver happens, boom, everything changes.
Exactly. It changes the whole trajectory.
Your potential penalty.
Everything.
Yeah, that's crazy. So they say, okay, we need due process.
Yeah.
What were the, like, the specific requirements?
All right. So the Kent decision, it lays out these key procedural things.
Okay.
First off, you got to have a hearing.
Okay.
Where the kid's lawyer can actually argue against the waiver.
Right.
Present evidence.
Right.
Second, the lawyer, they have a right to see the kid's social files.
Okay.
The reports the court's going to use.
Right.
No more secret info.
Right. It's all out in the open.
Transparency. And third, the judge. They got to explain themselves.
Okay.
They got to give reasons for waiving jurisdiction.
So they can't just, like, say, yeah, whatever, you're out of here.
No, they can't just punt.
They got to explain.
You got to say why. So a hearing, access to information, and a clear explanation.
I mean, those sound like pretty basic, like, fair things.
They're fundamental.
Yeah. I mean, was there any, like, pushback? Were any of the justices like, nah, I don't like this?
Yeah. So Justice Sturt, he wrote this dissenting opinion. But his main thing was this principle of deference.
Okay.
Basically, the Supreme Court usually gives lower courts some leeway.
Okay.
Especially when they're dealing with local laws.
Okay.
So in this case, it was the D.C. Circuit Court.
Okay.
Justice Stewart was like, hey, we should respect their understanding of their own juvenile laws.
Right.
And he thought they should send the case back to the D.C. Court to reconsider it.
Okay.
Based on some other decisions they had made.
Gotcha. So it wasn't like he was against fairness.
No, not at all.
It was more like,
it was more about who gets to decide what the law means.
Right.
The local courts or the Supreme Court.
Gotcha. Okay, so like zooming out, big picture.
Yeah.
Kent v. United States, it wasn't just about Morris Kent.
Right.
It was bigger.
It was way bigger. This case, it was like a stepping stone for all these reforms.
Okay, so what came after Kent?
So Kent was like the foundation.
Yeah.
For this other landmark case a few years later, Inri Galt in 1967. Galt, it took these due process rights for juveniles even further.
How so?
So in delinquency proceedings, they established that juveniles have the rights to a lawyer,
right,
the right to confront witnesses,
okay,
and the right to not incriminate themselves.
Wow. Okay. So Ken kind of opened the door and then Galt kicked it wide open.
Exactly. You got it. And together, these two cases,
yeah,
they changed how the legal system viewed kids.
Okay.
It wasn't just about the state acting like a parent anymore.
Yeah.
It was about recognizing that kids, even when they mess up,
right,
they're still individuals,
yeah,
with rights,
yeah,
that need to be protected.
I mean, that's huge. So, like, basically, kids are different from adults.
Yeah.
But they still deserve basic protections.
Exactly.
Okay, so this had a big impact.
Huge. Lasting impact.
I mean, do we see this today?
Oh, yeah. You can see the stuff from Kent, like the need for a hearing, a written explanation from the judge. It's in so many state laws now.
Okay, so it's not just some old case.
No, it's still shaping the system.
It's still around. But even with all this, I imagine there's still some debate.
Oh, absolutely. Huge debates. Like, should we ever try kids as adults?
Right.
If so, when? What are the rules? How much power should judges have?
Right. Because it's like, you know, you're trying to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
But you also got to remember they're kids. They can change.
Exactly. That's a tough balance.
So Kent, super important. But did it have any limitations? Like, did it not go far enough?
So Kent, its main focus was on how the waiver decision was made.
Okay.
The process.
Right.
Not on getting rid of transfers altogether.
Okay.
So it made things fairer, but it didn't say, never try a kid as an adult.
So it was a big step forward.
Huge.
But it didn't answer, like, the big overarching question.
Yeah. Like, when and why should we treat a kid like an adult in court?
Yeah. And I'm also thinking, like, does Kent say anything about, you know, bias, like racial bias, socioeconomic bias, that kind of thing?
It doesn't really dive into that.
Right.
And that brings up a good point.
Yeah.
Did they go far enough?
Yeah.
What about those systemic issues?
Right.
Are those biases still affecting these decisions, even with the new procedures?
I mean, that's a whole other can of worms.
It is.
So, like, what about our listeners, future lawyers?
Yeah.
What did they learn from all this?
So lesson number one, procedural due process, it's not just some boring legal concept.
Okay.
It's vital.
Yeah.
Especially in an area like juvenile justice.
Yeah.
Kent shows us that these, like, technical rules, they can have a huge impact on people's lives.
Right.
And it also shows how lawyers can use the law to fight for fairness.
Okay.
You know, like Kent's lawyers did with that full investigation requirement.
Yeah.
So understanding how the legal system works,
yeah,
and knowing how to argue for a fair application of the law, those are essential skills.
Makes sense. I mean, is there like a quote or something that just sums up the impact of this whole waiver decision?
Yeah, this one really hits hard. The waiver decision determines whether a child receives protection or punishment.
Wow. Yeah.
Protection or punishment. That's the difference.
Yeah. That's a big, big difference. Okay, before we wrap this up,
okay,
I want to just clear up some words.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the difference between waiver and jurisdiction?
Great question. So juvenile courts, usually they have what's called exclusive jurisdiction over minors, meaning if a kid is accused of something, juvenile court is where the case goes.
Okay.
A waiver of jurisdiction is when the court says, you know what? we're giving up our right to hear this case. You're going to adult court.
Okay.
So jurisdiction is like the court's power.
Right.
And waiver is them saying, we're not going to use it in this case.
Okay. So they start with the power.
Yep.
And then they can choose to give it up.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. Last thing. Kent, was it about the Constitution or about the DC laws?
It was both. They lean heavily on how they interpreted that full investigation part of the DC law.
Right.
But they also were clearly concerned about due process.
Right.
Which is a constitutional thing. Right. You can think of Kent as this bridge.
Right.
They used a law to address a fairness problem.
Okay.
And then later, Galt came along and really hammered down those constitutional due process rights for juveniles.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So Kent was kind of like the setup.
Exactly.
For Galt.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. And just to go back to Justice Stewart, he wasn't saying kids shouldn't have rights.
No, not at all.
Okay.
His issue was more about like who gets to interpret the law.
Right.
Should it be the Supreme Court or the local courts?
Gotcha. Okay. So to really like drive this home,
can
you give like an example?
Okay. So let's imagine, right?
Yeah.
We got this judge. They've already decided they're going to send this kid to adult court.
Okay.
The offense was bad, right?
Okay.
So they have this like quick meeting with the kid's lawyer, but they're not really listening.
Right.
Not letting the lawyer present any evidence, any arguments.
Wow.
Maybe the judge's decision to transfer was the right one. Maybe.
Okay.
But the process, it was messed up.
Yeah.
The kid didn't get a fair chance.
Right.
And that's what Kent was all about. They weren't saying Kent shouldn't have been tried as an adult. They were saying the process was wrong.
Gotcha.
Justice Fortas, he even compared it to like flipping a coin.
Wow.
Making this huge decision without a real hearing.
Right.
It's just chance. No fairness, no real thought.
Right. You got to think about it. You got to consider the facts.
Exactly.
So to wrap things up, big takeaway.
Big takeaway from Kent v. United States.
Yeah.
Due process matters. Kids facing this huge decision about being sent to adult court, they deserve fairness.
Yeah.
It forced the legal system to see that young people, even when they're accused of serious stuff, they still have rights.
They're still people.
Yeah.
Okay, so listeners, as you continue to learn about the law, think about this.
Yes.
How well do those principles from Kent really protect the most vulnerable kids in our justice system today?
Yeah.
And what more needs to be done to make sure there's true fairness?
That's the question.
For all juveniles. All right, well, that's our deep dive for today.
Great episode.
Thank you for joining. We will catch you next time.